Ephesians chapter 2, maybe from verse 11. Let us stand up as we read the word of the Lord. Ephesians 2 from verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let us worship. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts for your wonderful grace, for your love, for your faithfulness, which you bestowed upon us. We were afar off, yes, far away, excluded from the promises, no hope, but you received us. You called us, you chose us, you made us nigh. This morning we are here, Lord, in your holy presence. You revealed yourself so mightily, Lord, already on many thousands. You proved yourself as the faithful God. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts this morning, and we worship you, O Lord. And we ask you again, come into our midst also this morning, Lord. Lord, you know all the petitions. You know all the problems among those who ask to be prayed for. Lord, you are the great physician, and grace is still here, Lord. We may still come to you, Lord, with everything, Lord, with all our brothers and sisters, with all who are in trouble. We pray, Lord, give grace. Now, in this moment, Lord, may you help, Lord. May you heal, Lord. May you receive them, Lord, so that your name might be glorified. Not for our glory it shall happen, for the glory of your name, Lord. O Jesus, we worship you, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, that you have chosen us for your own possession. making us of your household, O Lord, who belong to you, not only for time, but also for eternity, Lord. All the worship be to your wonderful name. Bless with us all your people, everywhere in all countries, in all tribes, Lord. We have heard everywhere you have your people, also in the Arabic world, everywhere, but also especially your people Israel, Lord. We lay everything before you, Lord, and we ask, bless them all from the riches of your grace. We worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope that we appreciate it to hear God's word in purity, in clarity, in the overall view and fullness as it never was before. To believe it and to have part in it. When I was sitting here, I thought about how simple it is in some countries that people can believe more childlike than as it was given to us. I briefly estimated what God has done on so many who came by faith, for whom it was prayed for, and God, on the spot, he could answer. Why? Because these people had a childlike faith, which did not depend on circumstances, but that it was based on the promise of God. And I told it to you here. It's a big difference whether people are spiritually already filled up or if they have no hunger in comparison to those countries which previously have not heard, which had no opportunity yet to get the word of God preached in such a way. And I told you also about this visit in Cairo, when this man who showed me the pyramid, with whom I climbed up the 77 steps, and reaching the top, he said out of the blue, "Would you pray for me?" At that moment, I had only the camera. I had no Bible, no pious face. I had nothing. I was drenched in sweat, reaching the top. And right as we reached the top, this more than 70-year-old man said, "Would you pray for me here?" And you can of course imagine how I laid my hand around this opa. And he said always, I Muslim man. With this he wanted to say, I'm a Muslim. I belong to the Islam. And I just said, Muslim man or not Muslim man, here we speak with God. And I closed him into my arms and I prayed for him. In the meantime, others arrived, four from Munich, originally from Prussia. And the man said, somehow I know you. And I said, from where? And then he said it quickly. He listened to the radio program and he recognized my voice while I prayed. and he comes towards me and asks, "Do you believe that there where you were standing are special vibrations?" At that moment, I didn't know what he wants. I said, "I don't know. But one thing I know, if we stand there and pray, then we get into swing." I said, "Come now, all of you." And all four and I, we stood in a circle, and there we prayed. Here, you can do all kinds of things, and nothing happens at all. And if you put your foot into other countries, it is almost on every step that God blesses, leading people who hear His word, who have a longing to hear that, what God has to say to them. And therefore, it is probably the reason that the doors, so to say, are opened unto us, unto the ends of the earth. When the one brother in Cairo said, "You must stay here for 4 weeks," I of course didn't know that more than 14 million Christians are living in Egypt. But among those living biblical churches who were waiting for to hear the word of the Lord. In the meantime, I received also my visa for Syria, and I want, as I said already last night, sometime to all these preachers who are in the camps, who hardly have their daily bread, them I want to bring God's word, for they have been misled, they were instigated. And you all see that people in these countries are so fanatic that they themselves risk their life. If just everything can be blown up and they themselves are killed, that doesn't matter. Important is that they can carry out the terror. But somebody is behind it. These poor people who get on the truck and who drive into a building and then cause this big explosion. They didn't want to do it at all. To them was said, "If you do this for the just cause of God," that's how they are told, "for this just cause of God, in this holy war, giving your life and die, then you have a special place in heaven." And who doesn't want a special place in heaven? Yes, this they all want, of course. And the thing is finished, the wheels begin to roll. We look at the matter from the biblical point of view, and we see how the spirits started out, of which Brother Branham speaks. And do you know on what I had to think about in the recent days? In the fifth seal, you can read that Brother Branham speaks of the 2 million riders. I think that's the number in the book of Revelation, who are bound at the river Euphrates on day and hour, and that they were then loosed during the time of the Second World War, and that they caused that all these Jews were murdered. But if we look up this matter, then there remains one question. If these spirits were loosed, causing this terrible murder, have they been bound again since then? Did anybody put them in some prison? Or are they still loosed? The people were killed. They were put in mass graves, or ashes remained. But these spirits, spirits of destruction, of murder, were loosed, and they are still loose today. And as then the thing turned against the Jews, so it turns today against both, against Jews, but also against the bride of the Lamb, against the elect. And you can read it in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. The dragon opened its mouth to devour the man-child, not the woman who bore him, but that what is born out of the church, the overcomers who will be raptured to God and his throne. This is what the enemy has focused on. So we have to count with it, that the attacks will not be against somebody, but against those at whom Satan has the greatest anger. And these are those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which was slain from before the foundation of the world. What did Satan do with all the men of God to whom the word of the Lord came? They were persecuted, stoned, killed, up to the blood of Zacharias, who was murdered before the altar. And our Lord said, so that all the righteous blood of the saints are avenged at this generation. What was it? Men of God carried the word of the Lord. And I probably mentioned it already last night. It is a chain reaction. The men of God received the word of the Lord. Men of God wrote it down. Men of God preached it. And the people of God received it and will receive it until the end. But the enemy will vent his anger on all of these, at them who as prophets walked this earth and who received the word, at them who sat down and had to write as a result of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, at them who at their time took this Bible into their hand, informing the people of God. And today, or already last night, a word stood out to me, which in the Gospel of Luke is a bit different formulated, as for instance in Matthew in chapter 3. Here is written the following from verse 2. Luke chapter 3 from verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. Let us stop here. The other Gospels state there was a man sent from God whose name was John. But here it is pointed to it very specifically that the word of the Lord came to him, that not he determined the time and the hour, but he waited until the word of the Lord came to him. And then he came on the scene, not sooner and not later, but at the point of time determined by God for that time. God has an order. He has a plan. And according to this plan, everything must take place. At that time, when Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, then the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. In verse 3 it says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is a very wonderful word. Both is of greatest significance. Firstly, that this man of God waited for the time. And secondly, that he could rightfully refer to the word of the prophet Isaiah, for it applied to him, not to everybody. How many came on the scene in the meantime? One who had even drawn 400 people to follow him. He is mentioned by name. But here, it was history in the plan of salvation. Here was a divine commission. Here was recollection and reference to the word which God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. And if we look into this time, then we not only met a man of God, a prophet who would have come on the scene, but a man to whom the word of God came, to whom was said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. And the nice thing is that this man of God went to the Old and to the New Testament and who could show us the scriptures which refer to his ministry. And this is for all who are scripturally aligned of greatest importance. Would somebody come on the scene and the greatest miracles and signs would take place, then we still have no right to run after that thing unless it has been placed scripturally and is legitimized by the Word of God itself and found to be right. Only then we have the right to believe, and only then we can claim to serve the Lord. If it is about miracles and signs, then there are in this generation perhaps already millions who run after signs and miracles. Every evangelist who comes, he is of course able to show signs and miracles. And do you know what will remain at the end of all these signs and wonders? If they have no biblical legitimation and no justification by the Word of God, this I can tell you without guessing and without riddling. All of them, on that day, they will marvel. Despite of all signs and wonders, they will marvel, because the thing was hollow and empty. Empty promises. Signs and wonders are not bound to a divine commission. Signs and wonders depend on the faith of them who hear the word. Every person who hears the word of God and believes can experience signs and wonders and can witness them. To us, it is about the overall justification of the Word of God. Signs and wonders, yes. Salvation and healing, yes. Deliverance, loosening, baptism in the Holy Spirit, all what God promised, to this we say yes. But these things may not be loosened from the Word of God. Whosoever loosens himself from the Word of God, he loosens himself from God. For God is in his Word. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word will be at the end. We are not here to judge, but with closed eyes, one should also not walk through this world. We experienced in part that people prayed for the sick, and these sick believed, and they were healed. God truly has done signs and wonders. Let us remember this great example of the sister of Brother Demas Shekarian. And I love this man in a special way, because Brother Branham told me on the 3rd of December 1962, visit this man, Demas Shekarian. Until that time, I didn't know his address and his name at all. And this man received me as a messenger from God. And you know, when all the others prophesied, "Daughter of Zion, you will not die, but you will live, and your testimony will be for the glory of God." There, Brother Branham had to say, "I can only say that what God has shown to me. I have seen the watch, and what was it? 1:45, that at that point of time, he saw the day and the hour in which she would go home. Would not this great prophet have done better if he could have said, 'Daughter of Zion, you will live and be a great testimony'? But he had no right to say in the matter. Men of God, prophets of God, and children of God have no right to say in the matter. They submit to the divine decision and go along with the will of God without grudging." And then came the day, and she went home. Instead that all these prophets and all these people who were enthused would have repented, they disregarded everything as if nothing has happened. A man of God could only say that what the Lord told him. And this reminds us to Micah in the Old Testament, when the men came and fetched him, that also he should prophesy to the kings of Israel and Judah, to Jehoshaphat and to Ahab. Then they said, "Join to that what all the others have said." And then it comes from the bottom of his heart, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." Here we have a man who then had to put up with it, that Zedekiah was beating him. He had to take shame and contempt upon himself. But he remained with the word of God. And I tell you today, it will be worth it, and it will pay off only to say that what God has said, and not to endorse that what others have said. Even if we had to be put in jail from time to time, as it happened with Micah. And Ahab then also told him, "If I return, then I will deal with thee." He knew how this dealing was meant. And this man of God had even the courage and said then to Ahab, "If you return, then has not the Lord spoken through me?" This could have costed his life, but did he have a choice? Could he be silent when God wanted to speak? He had to speak because God spoke. All the prophets, if they would have reasoned humanly, oh, they could have had a wonderful life on earth. But what does Hebrews chapter 11 say? "They wandered about, of whom the world was not worthy. They carried the precious word of God. Let me tell you, not only they, but also all who hear the word of God, they will have the same attitude, and out of conviction they will confess only what the Lord has spoken. This I will proclaim. If men would stick to this saying at this time, then to all of the confusion would have been made an end at once. If only all would stick to that, what is written in the Bible and what was said through the ministry of the prophet whom God has sent, then everything would be in order and there would be a wonderful harmony. But people go beyond the content of the Holy Scripture. And if I just think about what has already been said about the seven thunders, what kind of interpretations were given, with the promise, only who receives it is in the rapture. And this sounds then very nice, but puts the people under pressure into a situation in which they don't belong. Who are we that we want to distribute heaven, that we could presume to say, only he who receives that what we preach, he will be in heaven? Is this not the spirit of the Roman Church, which wants to be the only one that can save? With what spirits are we dealing? We must discern this matter and place ourselves consequently onto the side of God. And whosoever places himself onto the side of God, he is not in a vacuum. He does not stand upon sand. He stands upon the revealed word of the living God for this time. And this must be given to all of us by God. We have heard it in the two sermons about the original seed, that no mixing can take place. And this I believe with all my heart. But this word and this saying only applies to those designated by God. All the others will continue to mix, but those belonging to the bride church, who love the bridegroom and his word, they will no more mix, but build on each other, word for word, and thus be built up themselves unto a habitation of God in the Spirit, in order to offer well-pleasing sacrifices to God. The mixing will be among them, and please forgive me, I never got it over my lips before, and I also never thought about it. but all who are themselves bastards and who want to continue to be one, they will continue to mix. All who were born again by the pure seed of the Word of God, as we heard it in the word of introduction, that we are no longer pilgrims and guests, tolerated people who are allowed to be somewhere, but rather members of God's household. We belong to the household of our God. Whoever is a bastard himself will continue to mix. And where did the first mixing take place? When they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when did this take place? And under which inspiration? This happened in the Garden of Eden, under the very pious inspiration. The serpent, of course, didn't speak of the devil, but of God. Should God have said, and he knows that you will be wise, there the mixing started. To preach a sermon about the trail of the serpent beginning from the Garden of Eden until the end, when Christ will settle the account with the Antichrist. And we see the trail of the serpent, which takes the Word of God with pious sayings in its mouth and puts its own poison into it, establishing over and again the enmity, destroying the people on their inside. There, where God is, where Christ can reveal himself, the enmity is taken away. I ask you, who hates whom? Do I hate or am I hated? Do I persecute or am I persecuted? Do I slander or am I slandered? You can continue this catalog at will. One just has to discern, and that what is manifested as the fruit, of course, testifies of what kind of tree it actually is. Not there where it is spoken piously, where they do secrecy about secrets, but there where the sayings of God and the Word of God is preached in plain language without interpretation, where people are led to God and are joined with Him under the sound of His precious and holy Word. One could ask, what happens everywhere? But this is not our task. Our task is to pass on what we received from the Lord. Who made the efforts to translate the sermons of Brother Branham as the message of God into other languages, and to bear the responsibility for it? Just ask one single brother who lets himself be celebrated somewhere. What he did in order to carry the message sent from God into the nations and into all the world. And when you then draw a bottom line and you sum everything up, then you calculate 0 plus 0 is 0 plus 0 plus 0 is 0, and then at the end is 0. More does not come together. And this is not a criticism. This is a true inventory in this time. It is easy to make somebody else impossible and to scold him. But who has given his life and his time to, under all circumstances, go to the ends of the earth to bring the precious divine message? And about this I can rejoice today and jubilate before the Almighty God. I may testify that I didn't make my own message out of the message of God, but I have had enough of the fear of God to leave the message of God the way it was left unto us, and thus it was passed on to others. You can think about it yourself. Must I provoke this thought? Here it is written of a man of God that the word of God came to him and he came on the scene. Earlier, that was not possible at all. And if a man, as John, is filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth and knows in his heart that he has a divine commission, and then must wait 20 years and 25 and 30 years. But he waited not in vain. When the time was fulfilled, the word of God came to him, and a man sent from God came on the scene with a message of God, which led right back to the Holy Scripture. What is being done today? They take statements. They use quotes and want to connect them together, although they were said at different times and in different contexts. They try it, and the way to the Holy Scripture, they don't find it anymore. And then comes this piously veiled in statement. After all, the Holy Scripture nobody understood. This sounds very nice. And if it applies, then it doesn't apply now anymore. If nobody until that time would have understood the Holy Scripture, then it was the task of the prophetic ministry to lead us into the Word of God so that we understand the Holy Scripture. What did the Lord Jesus do after his resurrection? Did he tell stories to the disciples? No. He started with Moses and with all the prophets. And he told them everything what was written in reference to him. We believe that prophets of God are word prophets, men of God, to whom the word of God came. They are bound to the word of God and find therein their divine liberty. Everybody who loosens himself from the word, as I said before, he loosens himself from God. And with this, it's not finished yet. Everybody who loosens himself from the word comes under a strange and another inspiration, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is and remains in and with the word of God. Whosoever leaves the word of God comes under another strange inspiration, and then comes enmity, strife. Yes, then comes all kinds of things. And nevertheless, the things are embedded in pious sayings in a way as nobody could do it from us. But God looks through the thing and he knows his own are ordained to be a word bride. And the people may not believe me, and I also cannot bring them to it. But on the day of judgment, it will be true what I experienced there in Marseille. And I looked on my watch. It was 5:55 in the morning, after I was woken up by two calls, and then had to read 2 Timothy 4. And this was the day on which I could lift up my two hands before the open Bible and before God. And I said, only that what was written down as the word of God can be preached. That what was not written down has not become a part of the written word of God and will never be preached, but it will be fulfilled when the time has come for it. And that's how it will be. Hundreds of people can tell you 100 different things about the voices of the seven thunders. And if I read you from this Bible, that only them who can read it, here it says in Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Are written therein. Jesus said time and again, it is written. But if John hears from heaven the voice, write not, and he has not written, shall I then loosen my fantasy? God forbid. As sure as God watches over his word to fulfill it, so sure right at the end, he will do that what he purposed, without that it will be preached about. And Brother Branham said, nobody knows it. Also the Lord Jesus, at that time, he did not reveal the secret. We have heard many times, the word comes to the prophet, and none of all of them claims to be a prophet, but all of them claim that the word came to them. Not the word of God, not the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God is bound to his own word. And all of us, we have to submit to this word in order to come even into the divine order. Everybody wants to find grace in the sight of God. But for this, there's only one single way. And this way was prepared. What should John do? What should take place by the ministry of Brother Branham? It says here, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Not for us, not for me, but the ministry of the word happens for the Lord's sake and for his people's sake, so that the Redeemer and the redeemed stand with one another on the same ground, being in the word. And he is, of course, the word. Therefore, everything had to be balanced. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. This was said in connection with the commission of God. Not that one makes the straight crooked and the even uneven, as it happens all over by meddlers, but we believe that God has sent a prophetic message to make the crooked straight, to make even the uneven, to lower the high, and to exalt the low, and to prepare the way of the Lord, and to prepare a people for him. For this shall take place by the proclamation. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Now we ask ourselves, very honestly, without any criticism, the question, what was done with all the things which were determined to make straight, to even out, to balance, to correct, and to bring us back to the original gospel of Jesus Christ? Many things that are preached today has nothing to do with the original gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, It is of greatest significance to simply understand what God planned and what He brings to pass, namely to even, to put in order, to repair, to restore, so that we can be firmly settled in this word. He, the bridegroom, is the Word made flesh, and the Word of the divine promise for this time must become reality in the bride who is still in the body of flesh, and find confirmation by the grace of God. John could wait 30 years. Why shouldn't we too be able to wait? It's of course written, we have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The word of God came to John, and without being ashamed, we can say, the word of God came to Brother Branham, and him God used in a mighty way to bring the church back, namely to the original condition at the beginning. Now it comes, and this I want to say in closing. Whosoever does not take the revealed truth of the Word of God seriously, and does not believe it with all his heart, and does not place it biblically, he doesn't have to be surprised when he then gets strong delusion and believe it then. What I say now, about this you may laugh, but the people in South Africa, they do not laugh about it. Just a couple of weeks ago, a brother climbed on a mountain, and after a few days he came down and says, I have met the angels of God, and I have been told, you are now the Archangel Michael. Climb down now and go to the people. And already the churches were split. Unrest was caused, and the antis have already believed with all their hearts, for it was done so piously. Beloved, the word of our God remains forever, and the smartest person will go astray if he loosens himself from this word of God. That's how it is. Nobody can say, I know the Bible, it cannot happen to me. Know God, and let yourselves be placed into the Bible which you know, and then we can go on talking about it. There were already many who thought, it cannot be, and nevertheless, it happened. It's the last days, and many things are taking place. But let us focus on that, what God is doing now, according to His word, among His people, by His grace. For the word which came to John, this all got to hear who were under the sound of the proclamation of John. That's how it was also in this time. God revealed unto us his whole counsel by his grace. And about this we can be happy, rejoicing, for this is the day that the Lord has made. To him be the praise and the honor and the glory and worship. He will have a church which remains unspoiled in his word and is adorned and prepared. And by grace, you and I may be part of it. Praise be unto his name. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Grace, 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 instead of judgment, the love of Jesus, grace, 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 much greater than my guilt. This is the day. Heavenly Father, we thank you together for the time of grace and for the words of grace which you addressed to us also in this morning hour. We cannot do otherwise but to exalt your name, giving you the honor and the praise for it, for you have addressed the words of life unto us. Lord, we thank you for the precious truths, and that we don't have to fall prey to the trickery of men, but we may look to your word and to that what you said to your servant and prophet. This we receive and believe with all our hearts. To your name be the glory and the praise. Lord, we don't have to look to the twisting, what people twist, for they have twisted your word also in your days, and they are doing it also in our days. The same is with that what you revealed through your servant and prophet, Lord. It is being twisted, but praise and thanks be to you that you have a people which holds your word in honor, receive the worship also in this morning hour, and be merciful to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.